This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. There will be more and more elderly drivers on Colorado's roads. It's a fact of living in a state with lots of baby boomers, and it leads to a really sensitive question. How do you make the call that it isn't safe for an elderly driver to be on the road? And who should make that call? This is an issue lots of seniors and their families think about, including 80-year-old Georgia Potosik of Aurora.
I know that the time will come when it should happen. And I think the critical point is, who helps you make that decision, or how do you know when the time is right?
Potosik gave this issue even more thought recently after reading about a study of older drivers that came out of the University of Colorado, Denver. Dr. Emmy Betts and her team surveyed drivers in the state 65 and older.
One question was whether people thought over a certain age, a driver should have to have a test before renewing his or her license. We didn't specify the kind of test, and we didn't specify the age. So it was a fairly open question.
And here's how they answered.
We found that about 70% said that overall drivers should have to have some kind of test at a certain age before renewing their license, and that the majority of people, around three quarters, said that if their physician or their family recommended a test, that they would be interested in taking it.
Was that a surprise?
It was. It was higher than we thought it would be. I think some of that is because we didn't specify the kind of test. So I think that some people probably included evaluations by their doctors as that kind of test, as opposed to, say, DMV testing.
And what are the options there? I mean, you could have like a written test, I guess, a driving test, a health test.
Sure. So, I mean, there's a range, and I think that's part of the problem right now. There are tests that can be done in a physician's office, ranging from vision tests to cognitive tests to tests of strength. There are comprehensive driving evaluations done by occupational therapists that are half-day sessions, including a road test. And then certainly there are the traditional DMV tests, written tests, vision tests, and then on-road testing.
And we should say that some states already have tests in place for elderly drivers. We'll talk more about that in just a bit, but how did you get interested in this?
Well, I'm an emergency physician with a research interest in injury prevention, trying to find ways to help people stay safe. And, you know, I treat older patients in the emergency department, many of whom are still very active into old age, into their 90s even. And thinking about that balance of how we keep people safe without unnecessarily restricting their mobility and their independence is really what got me into the area.
Have you seen in the emergency room the result of elderly people driving when they probably shouldn't be?
I have, although I would say the vast majority of the things I see are younger drivers who involved in crashes after alcohol and other kinds of things. But, you know, I have seen cases. I remember a case of a woman who, an older driver who had hit a young woman who was out jogging. I think she probably had some cognitive difficulties because she didn't really understand what had happened or what she had hit.
If there were a test and it involved, for example, a doctor, so you talked about tests of strength or tests of vision. Would an insurance company pay for something like that?
Well, personally, I think that's one of the problems right now is that the comprehensive evaluations that are out there right now by specialists aren't covered by either health or automobile insurance. And so many people can't afford them. Typically, if it was something done in a physician's office, it would be covered as part of a typical clinic visit. As far as I know, there aren't specific billing codes related to those kinds of evaluations. Mm. Which is one of the other problems, because the tests that are out there for a physician to do take quite a while. And when we think about time limitations in primary care visits, it's a problem.
Why does it take a while?
Because it's not old age that makes someone a bad driver. It's all of the things that can come with old age. And those include a large number of medical conditions, strength problems, vision problems, cognitive problems, reflexes, how well you can turn your neck around to look behind you. And so to do an office evaluation really takes quite a while because you need to look at all of those different problems.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. Our guest is Dr. Emmy Betts. She was the lead researcher on a study out of the University of Colorado, Denver, that had to do with older drivers and really surveying them, see if they'd be interested in taking a test at some point to gauge their ability to drive. To be clear on the state law as it is today, Colorado law says drivers 66 and over have to go in person and have a vision test to renew their license or show proof that they had a vision test from their doctor. There is not a driving test associated with that, though. And, you know, Illinois requires a driver's test. or they just have to renew more often. Is this something that should be in the state's hands, in the doctor's hands, in the family's hands? Where do you think the responsibility should lie?
Well, I think it's a combination of all of those. This is such an emotional and difficult subject, and I think what we really need to avoid is unfair age discrimination where we're taking licenses away for people who still are safe, because there are a lot of negative consequences from early revocation of a driver's license. People become homebound and depressed and might even die early. And I think that although we found that people were in support of mandatory testing, we also found that only about a third said that the DMV or the police should make the decision about taking away a license, while about two-thirds said family or physician should be involved in that decision. So I think that there need to be standard policies about how this is done, but at the same time, I think it's important to involve people who know the driver, the family, the doctor, and the driver, him or herself.
Isn't this pointing to a much bigger problem, which is that many of us live in communities in which driving is one of the only options to go to the grocery store, to run errands, to do the necessities of life, and that communities that weren't so auto-dependent would be easier to get around for people who couldn't drive?
Absolutely. I think as we look at mobility as we go forward for, you know, environmental reasons and for community planning reasons, we've got to start thinking about transportation options besides driving. At the same time, I think even when there is a great public transportation system, we have to recognize that driving is so closely linked to a sense of independence and that a lot of people really feel like losing that privilege is losing independence.
Yeah, a real symbol, as well as being practical. What's the next step in your research? Where do you go from here?
Well, so one of the things that we were interested in was, you know, we saw that there were some big differences in terms of some people really thought a doctor should make decisions, some people really thought family should.
Now, where should the power lie?
Right. Yep. So one of the things we're now exploring is the idea of an advanced driving directive and the idea that maybe early on, before, you know, when you're still a safe driver, maybe you begin to have conversations with your doctor about who you want to help make those decisions should the time come where you're no longer safe. Because maybe that would make it easier for the physician or the family to bring it up so that rather than once it's already sort of too late, when someone's unsafe, the daughter's trying to take away the keys, maybe there could be something in place, a piece of paper saying, you know, here's who I want to make those decisions. And maybe that would facilitate those conversations later.
So maybe around, I don't know, age 60 or something, I fill this form out and I designate someone who knows me, maybe someone who rides in the car with me, as a decision maker.
Sure. And you say, you know, maybe for one person, maybe he'd say, I really want my doctor to make the decision. I don't trust my family. For somebody else, maybe they'd say, no, I want my daughter to do it. And that maybe then 10 years down the road, when it becomes a problem, maybe it makes it easier to have those conversations.
If a lawmaker is listening, hears the results of this study and says, gosh, there seems to be some pretty big support among folks, it was 65 and older, right, for some kind of test of my driving ability. Would you make a policy recommendation at this point?
I would say that there's support for some kind of objective testing. I don't know that we can say we're ready to have mandated testing at 65 at the DMV.
Yeah.
I think we need to look carefully at what that would mean in terms of the sort of economic consequences if you think about DMV staffing. I do think, though, that this shows that there is support for some kind of evidence-based program for how we make these decisions rather than sort of haphazard. And so I think we need to sit down and really figure out what we as a state and what we as a country want to do. I think it'd be great if we could get insurance coverage for some of these comprehensive tests, because those kinds of tests can also help drivers improve their ability. They may identify isolated deficits that could be corrected.
Ah.
And so I think that those kinds of programs can be great. It's just that right now they're not always accessible.
So that it's not always all or nothing.
Sure.
Oh. Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing this with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Dr. Emmy Betts is a professor of emergency medicine at the University of Colorado School of Medicine. She led a study of older drivers in the state. This got me thinking about my 80-year-old friend, Georgia Potosik, whom you heard from a bit earlier. I called to chat with her and learned that she'd read about this study. Georgia lives at Heather Gardens, a complex of apartments and townhomes for seniors in Aurora. She's taken a course there designed to help seniors with their driving, and she limits the time she gets behind the wheel, especially at night.
In all honesty, my life has been segmented into go out to dinner at 5 o'clock. It's early, and it won't be too dark when you come home.
When Georgia goes to the doctor or the supermarket, she plans routes to avoid busy streets. And like the majority of seniors in that survey, she thinks it makes sense to test seniors when it's time to renew their licenses.
And I would think it would be for my protection as well as others, because I still think I'm a good driver. If I don't test out as a good driver, that's a big signal.
Georgia says she hasn't had this talk yet with her son. And when he comes in from out of state to visit her, he may not actually get the chance to learn there's a problem.
When he comes here, I'm delighted to have him drive. So he hasn't seen an example of my 80-year-old driving.
When the time does come to hand over her car keys, Potosik says there's good public transportation where she lives in Aurora. She threw in one more observation. Yes, she says people her age may not see or hear as well as they used to. But at least, she says, they're probably not texting and driving.